The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The 72 disciples returned, rejoicing, and said to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I observe Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." At the very moment he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for though you have hidden these things for the wise and the learned, you reveal them to the childlike. As Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." Turning to the disciples in private, he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So in this homily here, I want to speak a little bit about what it means to be childlike and a little bit about divine filiation. Many of the saints have looked at the primary sort of perspective of our vocation is that we are beloved sons and daughters of God. We hear this all the time. And, you know, everyone who's baptized is adopted into God's family. And our Lord says today that those that follow him are childlike. Now, he doesn't say what? Childish. It's a huge difference. And the question is, how do we become more childlike? And so we need to look at the characteristics of a child, the good characteristics of a child, and how we can be more like God and more his beloved sons and daughters of God. I guess the first thing about a child or a baby or a little kid is they're dependent upon their parents. And, you know, one of the things we have to realize, and hopefully we're realizing, the closer we get to God, the more we, as this retreat is saying, seeking Christ, is how little we are, but then how big God is. You know, how little we are. You know, I just recently was on retreat myself, and there's a lot of beautiful prayer time, and there was in Culpeper, Virginia, there was just a great sort of vision of the mountains and this the sunset and all this. And what struck me is how insignificant I felt or I was. And that's really the starting point of holiness, is that we're nothing. But then God is great and he chooses weak instruments to do his will. You know, there is, in the work world, there was an article in Forbes magazine. It said that 70% of employees at offices, they struggle with what's called the imposter syndrome. And what that is when they're faced with a job or something that the boss tells them to do, or just when they walk around the office or in their job, they basically struggle with this feeling inadequate and chronic self-doubt. And I thought about this when I read this, is how many times as a priest I felt like that, like who am I to do this? And you ever felt that as a mother where, how am I to, you know, overcome this obstacle? But in the spiritual life, that's a good place to be, because when we realize what? Our inadequacy and our smallness, then we become more what? Dependent upon God. In order to become big, we need to become small. St. Jose Maria says, "Be very childlike. I speak from my experience as a priest who has had to pick himself up many times in these past 36 years, and how long and yet how short they now seem to be." He goes back to look back. He's been a priest before he died. He'd been a priest for 36 years, and how quick it goes. You know, I was thinking, you know, how many years Father Dan and I have been doing these retreats, and it just seems like we're getting older and older and older, and it's every year is quicker and quicker and quicker, you know. But the thing is this life, sisters, is such a small part. It's such a small thing next to eternity. St. Therese says, to remain a child before God's means our nothingness, to expect everything from God. Now, you know, it's important also to realize that our primary identification is being daughters and sons of God. Why? Especially in today's culture. You know, look at some of the battles that, you mothers are experiencing, where you're scared to send your kids to school because of some of these transgender things that are being taught at schools and these types of things. And a lot of my teachers that are in the system, they're being indoctrinated and, you know, the idea of like, you know, this is normal, to this LGBT thing, it's just being shoved down their throats. Another perspective from a Christian perspective is this. You know, if a young person were to come to you and say, you know, Miss So-and-so, and they trust you, I'm gay. Do you know what the Catholic response to that is? When kids come to me and they say that, I say, no, you're not. You're a beloved son or daughter of God that struggles with same-sex attractions. There's a huge difference there, isn't it? Because what does a culture tell them? To identify themselves with what? With a weakness or a sickness or something that's not them. But how many people today don't identify themselves as being what? Sons and daughters of God. That's our identity, sisters. That we are sons and daughters of God, and God calls to live like beloved sons and daughters of God. St. Jose Maria, it was kind of funny. He's very fiery. He's Spanish. And he says, if you believe you're a dog, you'll act like a pig. It sounds better in Spanish. But, you know, the reality is, I think a lot of people, they don't realize who they really are. And some people struggle with their image because they never experienced that at home. They never experienced that love, that sort of fatherly love from mom and dad in some ways. You know, a lot of people carry this baggage and so forth. But regardless of all that, no person struggles with what we call fatalism. We're not sort of subject to, or we're not like sort of fatalistic in terms of like, just because you had a bad upbringing, it doesn't mean you have to live that way. Why? Christ is risen. Jesus died on the cross and he heals us with his wounds. But how many people really believe that? That you are daughters of God. And not just daughters of God, but beloved daughters of God. I challenge you to think about, when I get up in the morning and you look at the mirror, what do you see in that mirror? A beloved daughter or something else? So dependency. And we all have weaknesses, right? St. Jose Maria says those periods of depression, because you see your defects or because others discover them, have no foundation, ask for true humility. And then St. Therese of Lisieux, who really sort of worked on the spirituality, she wanted to be a great martyr and all this. She realized, I'm not going to do great things, but she said this: to be a beloved daughter and son of God means not to be discouraged over our failings. If our children fall often, but they are too little to hurt themselves very much. And then they'll go to God when they need him. One of the necessities of the Christian life is to realize that we simply need God. Now, two is we have to be docile. You ever notice, like, little kids, you know, my sister has eight. She's, I think it's eight now, eight. I'm, like, losing count. You know, which one are you? And, but there's one in particular, one of my favorite is John, little Johnny. And he's one of these kids, like, you look at him, he's going to be a hellraiser when he gets older. You can just tell. He has, like, way too much confidence for 5 years old. Like, he just knows better, and he's got that sort of smirk. And, but he there's such an innocence, and he's so into, like, he picks up on things. And he has this huge devotion to Saint Michael. He bought me a little sword. You know, it was actually a envelope opener. And he's like, he was asked by his mom, like, "Well, Johnny, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And he was torn. He's like, "Why? I want to be Batman, but I also want to be a priest." He goes, "I'll be a Batman priest," you know. But the bottom line is, the thing about children is that when they hear things like Saint Michael and the devil, that this powerful angel, they just eat it up. But what happens to adults? Ah, it's mythical. You know, I mean, you ask a little child about the Eucharist, what do they say? It's simply what? Jesus. Do you ever watch First Holy Communions? You know, it's one of my favorite. It is a little tense because, you know, a lot of people I don't recognize at the First Holy Communion, but that's why we still love them, right? But their children, I know them because they go to CCD. It's just their parents don't go to church. But anyway, regardless of all that, by the way, there was a great Facebook where there was a priest. Well, you know, like this was the feast of Saint Francis of Assisi, right? And poor Saint Francis, you know, he's always going to be known for is blessing pets. I bet that they bust on him all the time in heaven. "Hey, animal lover." He's like, "Stop, I did a lot of other great things." But this one priest, he basically on Facebook refused to bless the pets. He goes, "I'm not blessing your pets because you don't bring your kids to church," you know. It went viral, you know. But anyway, he's a loving father. He just has a little bit of a, you know, rough way of expressing it. But my point is this, is that one of the things about being a child is not losing our sense of being taught. You know, it doesn't matter how old we are, we need to learn. You know, one of the favorite things I like to do is to teach the faith. But, you know, even after so many years as a priest, I'm still learning because the faith is so rich. We have to be docile. And you notice what it says here in this gospel is that the disciples, they come back so excited. And why were they excited? They says, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." You know, one of the things where I realized, like, sort of the beauty and the power of the priesthood is at times being involved with exorcism ministry and seeing how the prayers of the priest are so much more powerful than the powers of evil. You know, all that stuff is real, sisters. But I think the problem is this, is that many of us, priests included, do not even begin to know the power that God has given us. And the power that you've also received at your baptism, in your confirmation. I mean, do you realize what God has given to you? And now you, with the power of the Holy Spirit, can overcome any evil. Someone sent me a little link to a talk, but it's a book by Jesse Romero. He's a police officer, and he helps with exorcisms. And it was very interesting. The police officer is asked, and he's now retired, and he kind of helps with the whole exorcism ministry. And he basically just, he's a big guy, so he holds people down, and he prays rosaries. That's his job. And so anyway, what he said, these two priests, they were kind of rookie in this delivery, they're rookies, and they didn't know what they're doing, and this person's flailing on the ground, and they're praying, and all this. And so the priest just stopped, and with the little Latin they knew, they started to pray the rosary in Latin. And they said within 1 hour, all that evil disappeared. You know, it's just amazing. Ever since I heard that, I now pray the rosary in Latin, you know. And you know, it's interesting. Someone gave me this really awesome rosary, which I'm afraid I'll lose someday. But it's still with me after 6 months, which is a miracle. But check out this thing, right? It's made out of metal. You know, and literally, if someone tried to jump me in an alley, I could, you know, take care of them. It's a weapon. But you have to have this docility. You know, when you go to church, and hopefully you go to church where you hear the truth professed, that when the word of God is being spoken and the faith that's given to you is the directions for us to get to heaven. Our problem, our primary problem is what? Pride. We get too big for our britches. We think, I can do it on my own. I don't need someone to tell me what to do. On this retreat, the priest said something very striking. He said, the only sin that Satan can commit is pride. Because angels don't have what? They don't have bodies. So it's all intellectual. But you know, for ourselves, that's also the problem. When we lose our childlike qualities to learn and to listen, then we can easily be led astray. We have to be docile. The other thing, too, the last thing is to be very trusting. You notice how many kids between the ages of 3 and let's say 8 do you see have anxiety, major anxiety panic attacks? How many adults are on anxiety medicine? I mean, now some people I think have to take this, we know this. But does everyone have to take it? Does everyone need to take antidepressants today? Some do. But all of them? Do you think there possibly could be an existential problem here? Where God has become distant and people have no meaning in life? I think that's probably more of the problem. St. Ambrose comments on Luke 10:22. He says, because when you read all, when God said he gave all, you realize that Christ is all-powerful and that he is not inferior to the Father, and that the faith, that what he gives us is powerful, and then also we must trust that God has a plan for us. You know, right now I think a lot of people are very scared. I think priests are scared, bishops are scared, laity especially scared. Because right now, you ever notice, like, there just seems like we're walking, it's like this foundation that seems a little shaky, amen? But it's not shaky. What's the one thing that Jesus Christ promises in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, which is one of my favorite quotes? Upon you, Peter, I will build my church, and what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Cardinal Sarah has a great new book, and he says, when you speak about a crisis of the church, it is important to specify that the church, as the mystical body of Christ, continues to be one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Theology, doctrinal, and moral teachings remain unchanged, unchangeable, and inviolable. He makes the point that nothing will ever change in our church. You know, some women have come to me at my office and say, Father, what about this Amazon Synod? If you don't know what that is, essentially on Monday, a bunch of bishops are getting together in the Amazon jungle. And the problem is in the Amazon, they don't have a lot of priests. And so some bishops that I think they know more than the church were like, well, why don't we just allow some married priests, maybe some female deacons, and maybe take some of their spiritualities and just kind of work with it. Well, we all know that's not the solution, amen? The solution is you get 5 or 6 Father Dans and you send them to the Amazon. And then you have a seminary, right? It's always worked that way. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, today, I mean, one of the things because of the abuse crisis, one of the things that's being attacked is things like priestly celibacy. I hope, sisters, you're very clear that there are many priests that live chaste lives, or we're living chaste lives, and we've been faithful to our vows. And that 1 or 2% is just a smidgen of the 1% that ruined it for everyone. But it doesn't nullify the sacrifice that many priests have given to God. And I've come to realize more the power of chastity and celibacy, and how today in our culture it is so needed more than ever. Because it's a sign of what? It's a sign of what will come. And when a man forsakes marriage, he does it for you. To be a father for all men and women. To be free with that undivided heart so that he can serve you. And to be a priest doesn't mean to be A bachelor, it means a man who is free to serve his people and to lay down his life for his friends. And I think it becomes more clear to me as a priest when I do women's retreats why celibacy is so important. You know, Cardinal Dolan, as a young priest, he had a chapter on integrity. And I think what people are really struggling, what they want to see in their priest, but what you want to see in your children, and what you want to see in yourself is what? Integrity. What does that mean? That what you see is what you get. And the man you see on the altar is the man who's behind closed doors doing the same thing. As you, the same way you pray is the way you live. Now, do we live it perfectly? We know, no. But we try to live it as close as possible with and only with what? The grace of God. But he goes on to say when he was a very young priest, he had just ordained. He says, I was only a priest for a few weeks when a woman in the parish came to the door asking to see a priest. And since I was on duty that day, I went to the parlor to see her. For nearly an hour, she confided in me about the sexual troubles she was having, revealing to me intimate details that made me wish I had taken not moral theology classes, but ecology and college biology classes. More seriously, this suffering woman did not even know my name, but she called me Father. And because I was a priest, she could speak to me in absolute trust. In a world filled by men who had sexually used her, I was for her one who saw behind her body and into her soul. Knowing only men who viewed her in a sexual way, she saw me as a priest, as one who respected her person, her interior beauty, existing in a world where her every move had been interpreted as seductive. That's what a priest is. And that's why celibacy is needed. When your friends tell you, oh, priests should get married, tell you no, priests need to love Jesus more. And to live the gift that God's been given with more integrity. You know, Cardinal Burke, who's been ostracized, he asked the church that starting tomorrow or on Monday, that everyone prays one decade of the rosary for the Amazon Synod. That the outcome of that is in line with what we've always taught. But you know what? At the end of the day, like I said in my talk, it's going to work in God's favor anyway. Because it always does. But I think, too, in our own lives, when things seem to be unstable, do we realize that the church is not just built upon men? It's built upon Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, upon you, Peter, I will build my church. My church. And he promises once again that what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. One of the most beautiful things about being Catholic is this. It will never change. Now, people have been trying to change it for years. One last anecdote. Napoleon, back in, you know, when he was, you know, he's doing his crazy stuff, he actually captured the Pope and, I guess, tortured him a little bit, you know, and he told the Pope that he was going to destroy the church by destroying him. And the Pope looked at him and says, I don't remember which Pope it was, but he says, you know, there have been bishops and popes been trying to do that for years. They've been unsuccessful. Neither will you. And the truth of the matter is this. If it wasn't his church, we would have messed this up years ago. But isn't it nice to know that there's one place where when you come home, it's always the same? I just want you to think about this, and I pray about this. Have you ever gotten on your knees and said, Jesus Christ, thank you that I'm Catholic? I mean, thank you, Lord, that I am Catholic. I was born Catholic. You know what burns me up? I'm Catholic. I was born that way, you know? Well, grow up. But thank God I was born a Catholic. And what did Jesus say at the end of the gospel? turning to his disciples as he turns to you and me, he says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it. The fact that you're here is a gift. And you're not here by chance. You're not Catholic by chance. You weren't given the vocation you by chance. But in order for us to realize that God's working with it, is we have to realize that what? Once again, we're beloved daughters and sons of God in his family. Called what? The church. And so maybe the prayer is this, as the beloved sons and daughters of God, is to give thanks to God that, God, thank you that there's one thing in this crazy culture that is always solid. It's my faith. And like a little kid, I simply say thank you, Lord, for this grace. And help me never to lose that childlike faith. You know, going back to the Amazon Synod, Cardinal Seurat said there was this one bishop, and he was struggling with vocations in his particular diocese. And you know what he did? He simply made a pilgrimage to Our Lady's shrine 9 days in a row. For 9 days, that's all he did. He'd made a shrine, say, Mary, I need priests. Next year, he had men. It's simple, right? Jesus says, ask and what? Seek, knock. And we only believe that if we're what? Like a child. So grow up and be a kid. Amen.